Is everybody in? The ceremony is about to begin.
And here we go.
Dr. Evil, we have a problem.
That's gonna be cool.
You nerds.
I look like a couple of dorks.
Perfect. We couldn't have planned this better.
As of this moment, they're on double secret probation.
What's happening, hot stuff?
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
What? English, do you speak it?
Yes.
Then you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
And welcome, everybody, to the Weekend Sports Report. I'm Packer Dave. We have sports aficionados all over North America ready to talk NFL today. It's all NFL on the show as we enter the last week of the regular season, week 17. And we will hear from Dion Miller from ABC TV Channel 7 Sports in Chicago. Coming up, we'll look at the Bears and some other things around the NFL as the Bears wrap up their season after their game against the Lions this Sunday. Jeff Rich from the Sports Byline USA radio network will join us looking around the rest of the league, and we'll talk sports there, NFL, all over the rest of the league, and playoff implications, games with playoff implications. Steve Leventhal went to Hallis Hall, gathered some audio, midweek audio from the Bears. But let's look at the Packers right now. They get clocked in Arizona last week, and so it sets up a game against the Minnesota Vikings on Sunday Night Football at Lambeau Field for the division. Now, both teams are in the playoffs, but this game will determine who plays at home, who goes on the road, who's a division winner, and who's the wild card team from the NFC North. And it should be a good one at Lambeau Field. Green Bay certainly needs to bounce back, and Minnesota's been playing very well recently. So let's hear from Aaron Rodgers after the game against the Cardinals last week, and what they've got to do to get back in the mix here after a devastating loss. Here's Aaron Rodgers.
We're professionals. We got to hold ourselves a high standard and play better. Everybody's got to play better. I can't turn the ball around many times. We got to protect better. We got to catch it better, and we got to, do better on third downs. We have a standard we've set around here for a long time, and we just haven't lived up to that consistently. We've had this very poor halves, and then some good halves. We felt like this could have been an opportunity today to have another, bad half, good half, and get back in the game. And, a couple of fumbles later, and you're down 31. The game's getting out of hand. So I think you got to run it well, and you got to have good play action. We ran it pretty well at times today, but, when you're behind by three scores, it makes it hard to stick to the run game consistently. We got to use our guys to the best of their abilities.
And that includes Eddie Lacy. He can have good games, and if you get him going and get him catching out of the backfield and becomes more part of the offense, I think that only helps the Packers. I don't know if they've utilized him the best they can so far this year. Minnesota quarterback by Teddy Bridgewater, and he has been pretty good recently. Here's Mike McCarthy on Bridgewater.
Teddy Bridgewater, I think he's definitely one of the young ascending quarterbacks in the league. I'm very impressed with him. Just when you see him live, he didn't play the first time we played those guys last year, and now watching him twice. Very elusive, gets the ball out of his hand. It's a very experienced quarterback. You can tell he's played a lot of football, has managed offense at the line of scrimmage. His cadence, his demand is definitely ahead of the curve for a guy in a second year. I'm impressed with his mechanics and mannerisms at the line of scrimmage. So, he feels like, or it looks like he feels very comfortable in North system.
All right. Let's also hear on that from Coach Mike Zimmer of the Vikings.
I just think that we have a good understanding of the things that we can attack other teams with. It's not, I think he's been more accurate. I think we've protected better for the most part. I don't know, he's just felt more comfortable lately as we got into the season, I think.
And the Vikings quarterback comments on the upcoming game, the big one in Green Bay.
Big game in front of us this weekend against the Green Bay Packers, team that we haven't beaten in 2 years, the 2 years that I've been here, Coach Zimmer's been here. We know that it's a team that's capable of, getting hot around this time of the year. So it's going to be a challenge for us. Good thing is we just need to continue to play the way that we played these past couple games, and we'll continue to have the same intensity, the same focus that we've had, and do the right things. It's a big game, but we can't let the game become bigger than what it is.
Okay, it's the Vikings and the Packers at Lambeau Field. Packers got to bounce back from that loss against the Cardinals, and you know, the MVP talk out there, a lot of people say Cam Newton's the guy. I agree with that. But Carson Palmer of the Cardinals is part of that discussion, too. And let's hear from Carson Palmer regarding that.
Just shows that we got a very resilient group, and we believe in ourselves. We believe in each other. Well, it's a tremendous honor, but that was not a goal that I set out for myself at the beginning of the season, and it's not a goal midway through the season. It's not a goal now. The ultimate goal is to win a championship, and that's how I prepare. Postseason awards are not something that crossed my mind.
And the Cardinals may just be on their way to that. So we got a lot coming up here. Joining us next, Dion Miller from ABC TV 7 Sports in Chicago, right here on Report.
For many people, a new year brings resolutions, but don't let that resolve get buried in last year's clutter. I'm Danny Lifford with tips for today's homeowner. Stay tuned and we'll talk about a fresh start to the new year right after this.
The probability of a serious fire in a building may be low, but the potential consequences are enormous. In addition to smoke alarms and fire extinguishers, fire-resistant building materials can give you extra time to escape when seconds count. Roxul Stonewall Insulation is a critical line of defense in fire protection. Roxul is made from basalt, rock, and slag, and this combination results in a non-combustible product. It resists temperatures up to 2150 degrees and will not off-gas, contribute to toxic smoke, or promote flames. These tips brought to you by Roxul, the better insulation.
This is it, a brand new year, a fresh start. This can also be the year that you finally cut through the clutter. Maybe it's an unruly attic, a garage that holds everything except the car, or a closet so full the door won't even close. Your first step is to downsize. Chances are you have multiple items such as jeans and t-shirts. They're good examples. You just don't need two dozen of these things. Next, it's time to divide and conquer. Sort items into these four categories. Keep, donate, recycle, and dispose. After sorting, use clear plastic containers to store all the items in the keep pile, and don't forget to label each box clearly. Now you can neatly stack your labeled boxes and check off your first resolution of the new year as complete. I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner.
Dave here. Want to offer some good online music sites if you like listening to music online. ZCom Radio. They have two different stations. Gems plays Ricky Nelson, Herman's Hermits, Buddy Holly, Fats Domino. And The Choice plays stuff like Boston, the Doobie Brothers, Stones, Peter Frampton. You got MileHighRadio.com. They do Dan Fogelberg, The Band, Poco, The Eagles, The Outlaws. And SoftHits.net. They've got Elton John, Tina Turner, James Taylor, Carly Simon, Simon and Garfunkel, and more. Online radio.
The rewarding part is that we don't have to try and reach the broadest possible audience so that we can charge higher rates for advertising. We're not interested in who's hot and who's not. We're only interested in providing creative, intelligent, and even occasionally entertaining programs of quality.
Hey, Packer Davis, this is Nicky V, man. I'll tell you one thing. You're not a Rolls Royce. You're not a PT Beard. They tell me you're Brick City, USA. You can't shoot the J, baby. You better stay with the big skin.
It is the Weekend Sports Report. I'm Packer Dave, and now we bring in from Chicago, Steve Leventhal. Steve, Happy New Year to you.
Merry New Year. I love that expression.
All right. I guess so.
We might
We're going to hear it probably a couple times in this show. Thanks for that, Steve. All right. And now, from ABC TV 7 Sports in Chicago, we bring back to the show Dion Miller. Dion, how are you today?
I am honored to be a part of any sort of Merry New Year celebration.
Okay, well, I don't think it's a good thing to lie right in the first week of the new year. I don't know if that's good, but that's all right. We're glad to have you. And let's talk a little bit of Bears football right now. They're 6-9 going into their game against Detroit this weekend. In kind of a nutshell, your thoughts on the season this year?
You know, it's been, I guess when you say 6-9, I feel like at the beginning of the year, we all wondered if they would be 3-anything, you know? I mean, it was just such a rocky start. And they put things together, and it seemed like they were making that progress that everybody pointed to. And you felt like there was, especially through that middle part of the year when they won 3 out of 4, and you felt like, okay, you could see the progress, and despite the record, they were really making strides. And then over the last couple of weeks, it's just felt like, bleh. I mean, it just hasn't really felt like they're having this grand glorious momentum heading into next year. I hope that that changes on the other side of Sunday. I hope that they are able to beat Detroit. 7-9 just is a lot better than 6-10. And it's just, let's get to that point and feel like there's something more moving forward. I think you have to believe in the coaching staff. You have to believe in Adam Gase and Vic Fangio. I mean, you know, yesterday, just we were talking about him and his, he could be up as a head coaching candidate. How can that shock anyone? Of course he should be. The guys that he is putting out there and the fact that they're able to keep anyone from getting in the end zone is stunning. I mean, it's not the names you would have picked, and he is able to get them all on the same page moving forward. I think that is the stuff we need to point to as it's exciting about the future.
It's true, because if you'd asked people at the beginning of the year, at worst the Bears are going to be 6-10, you'd have said, well, that would be a bit of a reach.
Really? Whoa. Hold on, Steve. You'd have thought 6-10 was a reach?
Absolutely, given what they had in the personnel. See?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. What was 3-13? That was what Sports Illustrated, that grand glorious prediction that they put out there to the public for all eyes to see, is that they were going to be the worst team in football. And so I think, and in light of that, you look at 6 wins and you think, well, better than the year before. That has to be some sort of progress. But I think, again, you have to look more at the details as to how they were able to stay in a lot of games, competitive, that sort of thing.
Okay, Deion Miller, ABC TV Sports from Chicago. The coaching staff, as opposed to what you covered last year, your thoughts on what you covered this year?
Well, I mean, it was definitely more normal than the year before. And I don't say that in a way to be disrespectful in any way, shape, or form. You just, there were a lot of raised eyebrows at things that Mark Trussman would say. And John Fox, you don't have that same kind of, you know what you're going to get with him, and that's pretty much nothing. But I liked the refreshing honesty of Vic Fangio, even Adam Gase. And the way we were able to interact with them, and even special teams coach Jeff Rogers. I mean, we got to know him more over the last few weeks as it became more necessary to hear what he had to say every week. And I think that they gave you more. They were more approachable. The assistants for sure. And I really enjoy John Fox as a person. I really do. I mean, I appreciated that during the open practice times, he would often come over and spend 15, 20 minutes talking to reporters or the writers or whatever, and made an effort to connect with us. And I didn't expect that from him based on his reputation of not saying anything in press conferences, but he was very personable and kind, and I liked that. But you could definitely tell that they brought in a level of confidence that was lacking in the last coaching staff. I think that is probably more valuable moving forward than anything.
Well, and speaking of that in coaching, and one of the issues that was addressed in the Wednesday press conferences and special teams was asked about Robbie Gould, who didn't look so good. Maybe he's saved himself a little bit and acquitted himself with making some field goals in the last game. But where do you think that Robbie's future lies?
I think it's with the Bears. I really do. I mean, he's made a lot of kicks, and he's been so consistent for so long. I mean, so automatic. That's why it was so alarming when he missed and missed shots that, I mean, obviously 50-yarders are not chip shots, but he missed field goals that he should be make. He can make. He knows he can make them. And it was just, I mean, it could have just been a couple of off games. I think it does lie with the Bears. I really do. I can't see him anywhere else at this point.
Okay, Deion. Now, last time we talked, I said that Green Bay is a perennial playoff team. Chicago kind of has their troubles most years. And I offered the suggestion of possibly checking out the job market in the Green Bay area. They've got a lot of TV stations up there. Not as big as Chicago, of course, but any thoughts of maybe looking up north a couple hours for employment?
You know, no. I don't mean to say sort of disrespectful way either, because I've enjoyed any time I've spent up there.
Really?
Limited. I've always thought, what a wonderful place to raise your family. That's always what I thought. I mean, just very friendly and personable. I mean, really, sincerely. But no, I am a city girl. I love it here. So I'm sorry.
Dave, go ahead. Her level of talent, Dave, is such that her next move is they're going to be ESPN or Fox Sports.
A great place.
Well, that's
great,
very nice of you to say.
A great place to raise a family. There's a lot of drinking and you know, a consumption of fatty foods up there. I don't know if it's good for the family. I got out of there when I was 19. Okay. And you're right, Steve. Her next level is the national sports scene. Dion Miller with us. Okay. Let's turn our attention to the Packers. They lay a big egg in Arizona last week. How do you see them moving forward in the playoffs, either as a wild card or the division winner?
You know, it's hard because you don't want to be inconsistent late in the season as they've been. I mean, it's just kind of surprising too. I mean, in Rodgers' face after that game on Sunday, you just felt like somebody stole his lunch money. I mean, it was just such disappointment. That's never the way you want to head into the end of your season. I still think there's plenty of talent there. And the experience that they have in getting to that point. But I feel like the momentum, especially in the NFC North, is definitely with Minnesota. I mean, they're just playing well, and they've put it together at the right time of the year, and they're coming along in the right way. I mean, even last year, I mean, I remember the last game of the season after they beat the Bears, one of the things they talked about was how much this is going to help us moving forward and where we're at. And it has. They've totally built on that. And so I think as well as Green Bay plays and does in the playoffs, and as much as the Packers have that experience, I think that they're inconsistent at the wrong time.
Okay. I tend to agree with you. And they didn't take his lunch money in Arizona, but they did take the football away from him twice. So three times, because he fumbled twice and threw an interception. Not one of his better days either, but that's a tough Cardinals defense is in Arizona there.
I know. How good are they? And I'm sorry, I just, on a Cardinals note, I mean, every time I see them, I'm just like, oh, Bruce Arians, he was in the building, and they let him walk out.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of teams did. A lot of teams passed on.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to go around the room. Steve, New Year's resolutions, any at all? Maybe to know more about football. That would really help a show like this. I don't know why you're even on, because you really don't know much outside of the Bears locker room.
Hey,
but
Dave,
go ahead.
I probably watched more football in the last 4 weeks than I have in the last 4 years. I got involved in the fantasy sports thing. I really loved it. Watched a lot of college and watched a lot of pro games. Probably watched more Steelers games than anything.
You're wasting airtime. You're wasting airtime, Steve. So, and I'm sorry. You know, one of our contemporaries in the radio business said that I sound condescending to Steve when I'm on the show. And I know it's true. It's true, because he drives me nuts. Okay. So any New Year's resolutions, Steve?
Well, I'll try to be a better sportscaster.
Well,
do you mean New Year's resolutions I might actually be able to keep?
I think, you can't go down. You can't be any worse, Steve. So you're going to meet that goal. I know you will.
Aim low.
Okay. All right. So we've got that for Steve. For me, it's to be a kinder and gentler co-host here on the show.
Who's going to have to try harder, me or you?
I love you, Steve. You know that? Steve, I love you.
I love you like a brother, man.
I've known you for 23 grueling years, and I love you.
Oh, gosh. You guys are awesome.
Dion. Quiet, Steve. It's Dion's turn. Put your hand down. Okay. Dion, what's your resolution?
Well, I mean, other than listening to you guys every week, I'm going to, I love New Year's. I love the fresh start. I love setting all these goals for myself that I'm never going to keep. So I don't know that I have any right off the top of my head at the moment, which is awful. I think that just is a sign of how busy I've been. So perhaps my New Year's resolution is to take more time to relax. Can you guys get on board with that?
To decompress more, right?
Yes, exactly. I'm a little high strung.
What did Ferris Bueller say? Life comes at you really fast if you don't stop and slow down and enjoy some time.
That's right.
So I was going to ask you, Dion, now that basically next week bear season is going to come to a painful end, who will you be covering once football's over?
Well, we dive right into Bulls and Blackhawks right away for about a month, and then spring training. So, which I know everybody's eager for Cubs baseball to pick up again, and the White Sox too. Let's not count them out. But yeah, but January, the rest of January will be filled with Bulls and Blackhawks, and then by I think it's like the third week of February, maybe not even that late, we head to Arizona and we start baseball. Can you believe
Excellent.
That? That's crazy.
You're coming to Arizona. Okay. We got to get together. Mm-hmm. Steve, are you coming to Arizona too?
Oh, every year I make the pilgrimage.
My mother lives here.
I have to check mom's social calendar to see what she can accommodate me.
Oh, yeah. And to make sure she pays for your plane ticket and any hotel stay that you have here, I'm sure. Okay, Dion, we're going to see you in Arizona. How's that sound?
I would count on it. That sounds wonderful.
All right.
Oh,
sounds
but
good.
Don't worry. He won't be buying, though, so you better bring your wallet.
Not true. I'm very generous. Steve is super cheap. And that's the truth. I am not lying to you about that. Okay, Dion Miller, ABC TV Sports in Chicago. Hey, you've been a great sport this year on the show, and maybe we'll have you on when we cover the Bulls and the Blackhawks and all that good stuff.
You know, I would love it anytime, guys.
All right. Thank you very much, Dion. Steve did go to Halas Hall this week, and we hear now from John Fox talking about the so-called or perceived improvement after the 1-7 start for the Lions later in the year. Here's Fox.
Well, I think they've they've cut down the turnovers. They had a lot of problem with turnovers that can put you to 1-7. First and foremost, I think they've improved a lot over the course of time. They've made some changes, and particularly on offense, offensive coordinator and offensive line. I think they've performed better, and a lot of it's been, reducing the number of turnovers, and I believe they're first in the league right now in red area scoring offensively. So those are two areas that come to mind.
And thanks to Cheryl Ray for sending us that audio clip.
Okay. And Tracy Porter, defensive back for the Bears, talks about Detroit's offense.
They're talented. They're talented in all skill positions. They have three dynamic running backs that can make things happen with the ball in their hands. So we have a task, out for us on defense. But, we faced these guys before. We had a close game against them. We just have to do a better job of executing and finishing the game. We still have a game. I mean, we still have 60 minutes to go. I don't think ahead. I think of right now. And right now, I have practice tomorrow. And have to go down and break down the practice film from the day and then look forward to tomorrow and keep building on Sunday. And once Sunday's over, then I can look forward to the offseason.
All right, the Bears and the Lions on Sunday. Coming up on the Weekend Sports Report from the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Jeff Rich will go around the rest of the NFL and games with playoff implications when we return on the Weekend Sports Report.
Common sense tells us that the chill of winter means you should close off every possible opening to protect your home from the cold. I'm Danny Lipper with Tips for Today's Homeowner. Coming up, I'll share why I believe there are some doors that should stay open right after this.
When it comes to construction adhesive, professional contractors know what matters most. Dependability, strength, and quick dry time. Introducing new Tight Bond Fast Set Polyurethane Construction Adhesive. It builds strength faster than other polyurethane adhesives. Use it to bond dozens of materials in any construction, remodeling, or home repair project. Tight Bond Fast Set. It works for the pros. It'll work for you. For more information, visit tightbond.com or see them on Facebook.
Every year I'm asked the same question by homeowners that have crawl spaces. Should I close off the crawl space vents during the winter to protect my home from the cold? First of all, it's important to understand the purpose of these vents. A crawl space is an ideal spot for moisture to build up, which in turn will cause issues with mold and mildew. Crawl space vents provide a moisture release, so I always recommend leaving those vents open all year round. Now, there are things you can do to help protect your home from those cold winter floors, like adding insulation between the floor joists and putting a moisture barrier on the ground using a thick plastic sheeting. Also, be sure no plants are blocking the vents to allow good air circulation. I'm Danny Lipford with Tips for Today's Homeowner.
Hi, everybody. This is Pat Hughes, radio voice of the Chicago Cubs, and I would like to invite you to check out Baseball Voices, the Hall of Fame series. These commemorative audio tributes celebrate the greatest baseball announcers of all time. Harry Carey, Jack Buck, Bob Uecker, Harry Callis, Marty Brenneman, Red Barber, Milo Hamilton, and Dave Niehaus. These CDs are a collection of highlights, history, humorous stories, and Hall of Fame speeches. Available now at BaseballVoices.com. That's BaseballVoices.com.
Merry New Year!
Happy New Year. In this country, we say Happy New Year.
Ha 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 ha! Thank you for correcting my English, which stinks.
We're back on the Weekend Sports Report. I'm Packer Dave with Steve Leventhal. Remember, check us out, internetfm.com. That's internetfm.com. Or, of course, PackerDaveShow.com. PackerDaveShow.com. New shows posted every Friday afternoon for your weekend listening pleasure. Now, let's bring in from the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. You can hear him on Sunday mornings, 11 a.m. Eastern Time. That's 8 a.m. Pacific Time at SportsByline.com. He's also the host of the Suits and Laterals podcast at SuitsandLaterals.com. And major contributor, I think he actually runs it, More Than a Fan.net. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good to be here. Happy New Year, guys.
All right, Happy New Year to you,
Merry
Jeff.
New Year.
Okay.
Merry New Year. I love that bit. That's always a fun movie to watch this time of year, Trading
that's
Places.
That's a great movie.
Yeah, that's fun. I did like that movie. That was good.
I want you guys to weigh in on this. Yeah. Die Hard, is that a Christmas movie? I don't, you know, and I'll be before you answer, I'll tell you that I believe it is.
Oh, Die Hard, Bruce Willis, Die
totally.
Hard?
Totally. It's a total Christmas movie.
That's a there new one. Out, is it out at theaters or no?
No,
is
he's
it
just,
a new one?
No, he's just talking about the Die Hard series in general.
Threw me off. Okay.
The first two are Christmas for sure.
Oh, yeah.
I really love Bruce Willis in Moonlighting. That was my favorite.
Actually, you know what's a great Bruce Willis movie that just never gets a lot of play?
Right.
You know the movie Lucky Number 11?
Okay.
I like that movie. You know, the horse racing movie with the bookies, and you got Ben Kingsley and Morgan Freeman living in high-rises across the street from each other as rivals. It was a really good movie.
Absolutely.
What the hell's going on here, you guys? Siskel and Ebert or something? This is a sports show. Okay, let's
we're talking about horse races, man.
Okay,
that's
let's
right.
Look at the NFL playoff implications coming up this week with Jeff. And your Cleveland Browns are up against the Pittsburgh Steelers this week. Pittsburgh needs a win at Cleveland. Do they get it, Jeff? I think 95% of the population might say yes, but they lost to Baltimore last week. Your thoughts on that game? Let's start there.
I think it's tough. You know, usually that Week 17 game when Pittsburgh goes to Cleveland, it's mostly Steelers fans because, like this year, the Browns are usually on the outside looking in at the playoff picture. Pittsburgh, a lot to prove. They've lost some games that they should have won. They've won some games they should have lost. So they're about a 500 team. You know, they're going to finish better than that. I predict that they're going to defeat the Cleveland Browns in Cleveland on Sunday and finish the season 10-6.
Okay, well, if that happens, then the New York Jets need a win at Buffalo. Rex Ryan secured his job, if anybody was wondering. He'll be back next year. But I don't think the Jets have that easy a time with Buffalo. In Buffalo, what say you?
You know, they're going to have a lot of momentum coming off a big win against the New England Patriots. However botched that overtime coin toss was by New England, the Jets still did what they had to do, and they went down the field and scored a touchdown. And I think that you're going to have a fired up team. I had a lot of confidence in Rex Ryan taking over the Bills going into this season, but either he hasn't done a good job or his players haven't performed well for him. I expect it's not going to be an easy task for the Jets. They're going to have to win games the way that they have all season, and that's just with a balanced attack on offense and Todd Bowles bringing that dominant defense to New York from Arizona, where he was a coordinator for a couple of years before taking this head coaching job.
You're a Brandon Marshall fan? I am.
You know, it depends on the day. You know, it really depends on Marshall's effort. There are days that, you know, he comes at about 80%, and those are the days that I don't care for him. When he plays 100%, I mean, it's cliche, but Brandon Marshall's one of those guys that when he's motivated to play, he's one of the best in the game. But I think that, you know, we've seen it in Chicago. We saw it in Denver. There are days that Marshall just doesn't show up, and it usually costs his team the football games.
He's the second best receiver in New York.
After Odell,
well,
The Jets are in playoff contention, though, and the Giants are not. And you know, everybody in Chicago. Well, he was a disruption in the locker room. He was a tough teammate to get along. You know what? The guy scores a lot of touchdowns and gets a lot of yards, and you know, makes a lot of receptions. So the Jets really used him well this year. And they're in a position to go to the playoffs. Neither the Bears are not, and neither are the Giants with Odell Beckham Jr. But let's go back to you mentioned that coin flip call, though, where New England deferred and allowed the Jets to score a touchdown. I don't understand that at all. I mean,
well, it wasn't a deferral. They actually chose to kick. You know, they could have chosen their end of the field. They could have obviously chose to receive, but they just botched that all the – even if they did want to go on defense first so that they could kind of know what they needed to do, which is the college football overtime strategy where you almost have to treat it like a baseball game where you'd rather hit in the bottom of the inning than the top. But, you know, Matthew Slater, you know, Belichick wanted to not have the ball. Belichick wanted to get the ball second, but Matthew Slater could have chosen his end of the field. He botched that. And the Patriots defense, you know, honestly were the ones that botched it all together by allowing the touchdown down on the first drive.
Okay. Well, I guess when you win as many Super Bowls and have been to as many Super Bowls as Belichick has been to, you can't be questioned. But that was just outright dumb, I thought. Okay.
Well, you know what was surprising to me, Packer Dave, was I was wondering, you know, because we know Marty Morningweg infamously chose the wind a couple years ago, and it came back to bite his team. But there have been a couple teams in like the last 10 years that have kicked off to start the overtime even before the new rules, and it's actually worked out for them in the end, which is surprising. But you know, not a great strategy, not at all.
I don't get it. The other team scores a touchdown, you're done. It just doesn't.
Well, you ever
make
see that Charles Barkley commercial where he says, "I would never punt," you know, if I was a football coach, because you know, controlling the ball is, you know, 9/10 of the game, and that's exactly what the case is there. You know, you take a riverboat gamble for sure when you give up the football, you know, when you have the opportunity to take it to start the overtime period.
Hey, those commercials with Barkley and Samuel L. and Spike Lee are hilarious. You know, have you seen those for the Capital One Bowl?
Steve, do you know anything about football or, you know, other than commercials and movies?
Yeah, don't kick off if your defense can't hold the other team.
All right, well, you just learned that, so that's really not fair. Denver goes plays San Diego in Denver. With a win, they win the AFC West. Kansas City with a win versus Oakland in Kansas City and a Denver loss wins the AFC West. Jeff, who winds up winning that division?
Well, I think after that Monday night performance, you got to put all the chips on the Denver Broncos. You know, they've struggled. You know, they've struggled at times since Peyton Manning's taken a backseat to Brock Osweiler. You know, Osweiler, you know, good balance between throwing to, you know, he spreads out the ball pretty well. Denver's finally running the ball, you know, this last quarter of the season here. So I expect that they take care of business against the San Diego Chargers at home. The Chiefs, great story. It'll be nice to see what they can do in the wild card round, but I don't think there's any way that Denver allows them to win allows the Chiefs to win the division this week.
And now Peyton Manning will be backing up Brock Osweiler against San Diego in Denver this Sunday. He'll be back on the sidelines. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out, but I think as long as Osweiler plays well, that you won't see Manning. That would be a desperate measure, I think, if he actually found his way back into the lineup this year. I have to give a lot of credit to Brock Osweiler, though. He hasn't really played at all until this year, and he's performed well. What, Steve?
Oh, well, you're talking about Denver, Peyton Manning, and here's something right for your lawsuits and laterals. What about all this HGH allegations that broke this week on Al Jazeera, of all places?
Yeah, you know what? Chris Green and I touched on that on the Suits and Laterals podcast, which you can find at suitsandlaterals.com. It's too early. We talked about it on Sports Byline last Sunday as well, Dorf and I. It's just too early. There's not a lot of facts out. And, you know, we're not going to take the Mike Ditka route and question the integrity of the news source, Al Jazeera. Apparently, it's the CNN of the Middle East. So it carries a little bit of weight. That doesn't mean this report that came out Saturday night, you know, involving a lot more baseball players. You know, Peyton Manning's obviously the headliner. When, you know, I believe Clay Matthews' name was dropped in that report, and it's a lot of it's unsubstantiated. So let's wait and see. But this is the last that. Yeah, I think this is kind of like Ray Lewis with the deer antler spray. Going into that Super Bowl against San Francisco, it's like, you know, it's a way to knock a legend off his pedestal on his way out. It's kind of, you know, it kind of doesn't sit right with me. But if it's true, you got to respect it as what it is.
All right, I agree. It's too early. They've got to dig into it a little bit. Happened a while ago. It was, 2011, right, Jeff? Something like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the timing lines up. It's before, you know, it was the season that Manning didn't even play for the Colts, so... you know, he was legitimately recovering from injury at that point, you know, but HGH is one of those things that's habit forming. You know, if it's, you know, if you used it at one point, you probably didn't just use it one time to recover from an injury. And, there are some scary things going on. It's not, you know, the whole anabolic steroid HGH, you know, human growth and all that. It's not really my style, but you know, if you're a professional athlete, I guess you got different things going on.
All right. The AFC South is still up for grabs. If the Texans win against Jacksonville this week, they're in. If they lose and the Colts win, it looks like the Colts go. And they have a guy named Stephen Morris. I hope I'm saying that right. Stephen or Stephen Morris. Signed from the Eagles practice squad last week. Looks like he's starting at quarterback for Indianapolis after Charlie Whitehurst goes down, Matt Hasselbeck goes down, of course, Andrew Luck out. So I think it's going to be tough if they get in, even if they happen to win the game this week. And Indianapolis, you know, in tough position at the quarterback, in tough straits at the quarterback position. So is this a no-win situation for Indianapolis? Tennessee plays at Indianapolis this week. Will Tennessee be able to beat Indianapolis with a eighth-string quarterback? Jeff?
Probably not. Tennessee's in a position where if they lose, they get the number one overall draft pick. If they win, Cleveland ends up getting it. So, you know, the players never play for draft position, but you got to imagine the Tennessee organization's in a perfect situation to tank this game. The Colts don't, you know, it's not just a matter of the Colts winning, the Texans losing. There's like seven other things that need to happen for the Colts to get in. So,
okay.
I'd say the odds are stacked against them. I think the Colts end up winning, but, you know, who'd have thunk it? You got Stephen Morris, you got Brandon Weeden, Brian Hoyer. I mean, these guys are all, you know, one of these guys is going to be a playoff. You know, a starting quarterback in the playoffs, and it's just kind of kooky how the four division system kind of works. The NFC East, your division champion's probably going to be worse than a team on the outside looking in the playoff or in the wild card race. Ditto for the AFC South. So it doesn't look good. Disappointing season for the Colts. You know, Andrew Luck injury notwithstanding, just a really disappointing season. It's you know, Ursay's got his finger on the trigger. You got to wonder what the future of the GM Ryan Grigson and the head coach Chuck Pagano is there.
All right, Chip Kelly gets the boot in Philadelphia. Not surprised. Fans didn't like him. The players didn't like him. My way or the highway. It was with Chip. But then you have a bad season this year. But 2-10-6 seasons prior to that, does he stay in the NFL? Somebody pick him up.
I think this story is fascinating. I'm almost more fascinated to see what the Philadelphia Eagles and Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman, what direction they go in next with their head coach. I mean, do they go with the unconventional route like they did with this last hire with Chip Kelly? And then, you know, of course, where does Chip Kelly land? The most tantalizing story, I think, would be if he ends up, you know, with Jerry Jones and possibly Johnny Manziel in Dallas. That could be a perfect storm of you know what.
Well, I don't think Garrett's going anywhere in Dallas. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, Lurie didn't do him any favors by waiting this late in the season because a couple of primo coaching jobs in college have already been filled.
doesn't want to be a college coach.
How do you know that?
Well, because you know, it's funny.
The jokes going around on Twitter after Kelly's firing the other night. You know, one of them was that they probably knew that they were going to fire him 8 weeks ago, but they intentionally kept him on the seat, you know, just to make sure all the good college jobs went away. And they didn't let him address his team. They didn't let him finish the season. And you know, you're like, well, you know, why are they being so mean to Chip Kelly? And it's just like, you know, you can picture the bravado in Philadelphia saying, you know, because screw him, that's why.
Yeah, but they were in playoff contention till last week in a bad division. And didn't he say, Jeff, that didn't Chip Kelly say that I'm addressing this to Jeff, Steve, you see that? Didn't he say that he wants to be an NFL coach and stay in the NFL?
Oh, I'm sure he does. I'm sure he'd like to still be the coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. The problem is nobody likes him. You know, you can get away with that in college because you said, you know, I mean, you're basically the emperor or the czar of your program. You get to the NFL, you know, even if you're in the position where Kelly is, and by the way, it never works when a NFL head coach also wants personnel control. You know, you need – those are separate jobs. Seattle learned it, and they went to a Super Bowl when Mike Holmgren fired himself. So you never see it work. It started to fail at Philadelphia, and I think that you just need to stick with the conventional format. Your head coach is your head coach, and your personnel people are your personnel people. And somebody's going to give Chip Kelly a chance. He was 10-6, two out of 3 years in the league, and this season, you know, the bottom kind of fell out on the 2015 season. But I think he'll be back. I wouldn't be surprised if he's not a head coach next year, and you know, maybe he teams up with Bill Belichick in New England if he wants to stay in the NFL, or you know, if he likes the college game and he likes what he. You know, what his offenses can do in the college game. You know, there's an opening at Ohio State to be the offensive coordinator. So we'll kind of see how that goes.
Think maybe he'll land in Cleveland, Jeff, your team?
You know what? Last time around, when they hired Rob Chudzinski before the 2013 season, Chip Kelly was supposedly a done deal, and he took a dinner with the Philadelphia Eagles and said he was going back to Oregon and then ultimately went to the Eagles. So I don't think the Browns allow themselves to be burned twice, but you know, maybe I'm overestimating the Cleveland Browns organization when I give them any praise at all.
I know. Been a tough year for Cleveland.
Okay. It's been a tough decade and a half for a Cleveland Browns fan. I don't want to dominate your program here with talk of a – you know,
that's okay.
Probably a 3-13 team, but it's been a rough 15 years. It's been a rough time for two decades since the NFL allowed Art Modell to steal the Browns from Cleveland and take them to Baltimore.
Okay, it's all right to dominate our show. Steve doesn't really know much, and I talk too much anyway. So take over anytime you feel. Okay, Green Bay and Minnesota in Green Bay. By the way, Jeff, my wife and I were on Fox, the broadcast last week in the second quarter.
America's Most Wanted?
In our row seven seats there near the end zone.
That was the game where the Packers failed to achieve victory, correct?
Well, you know, it was funny because after the game, Bruce Arians, the coach of the Cardinals, who I love. I love the Cardinals, by the way. I think they're going to go all the way this year. Bruce Arians was like, and there are tons of Packer fans, probably, you know, 30-40% of the stadium. And he says, there are Packer fans here? Huh, I didn't hear them. Because there was nothing to cheer for. They were down 31-0 before they even scored. It was a real embarrassment. And the Cardinals defense, tough. I don't even want to talk too much about the Pack. What, Steve? What?
Aaron Rodgers did his best Jay Cutler imitation there.
Okay, thanks for that, Steve. So you've got the Packers now against the Vikings for the division. Okay, if Green Bay loses, they might travel to Washington and play the Redskins. They win, they either see Seattle or Minnesota in Green Bay, and the Vikings with an impressive win last Sunday night. So I don't know. Going into this game, I think it's a total toss-up. What about you?
You know, I got to use the precedent that Green Bay went into Minnesota on a Sunday night. I think that they're definitely able to hold serve at home. But you know what? I don't know what you take away from a 38-8 loss to the Arizona Cardinals this late in the season. You know, it sets the tone for the playoffs. Maybe, you know, there's the argument that you don't want to show too many of your cards when you know that you're already going to the playoffs and you're playing a team that you could potentially play again. But, you know, Green Bay can't think about that this week. You know, they got to beat Minnesota. They got to win this division, especially after the way that they started.
Okay. Jeff Rich, check him out Sunday morning, 8 a.m. Pacific time, 11 a.m. Eastern time at sportsbyline.com. And here's your 20 to 30 seconds to promote whatever entity that you'd like to, Jeff. You've got probably 8 or 9 things that you do. Go ahead.
Well, let's stick with the website, morethanafan.net. We're bringing on new writers all the time. We're kind of pivoting from, just giving general opinion on sport itself to really trying to hammer down those opinions in the regional areas. We cover the Colts, we cover the Packers now. We cover the Pacers, Purdue football and basketball. We're trying to get all over the map. We're sticking with our roots, which started in the, in the Midwest and Northeast Ohio and, trying to extend into Michigan, Indiana, Pennsylvania, the Chicago area, up to Wisconsin, and really just giving opinion on the game that you just watched, maybe showing you some things that you haven't seen before.
All right, Jeff. Thanks very much. Check him out, sportsbyline.com. Hope you enjoyed that chicken dance music as we exit the show. Check us out, internetfm.com or packerdaveshow.com. Have a great new year. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Keep your feet in the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
That's right, tough guy.
Bye-bye.
Get some beer, scumbag.
Goodbye.
Tell you what, Dipstick, you can just come on down here and smooch my big old white butt. Pucker up, Buttercup.
Yeah, I hear you, Fruitcake.
Oh, it's hopeless. I ought to club them and eat their bones.
Goodbye.
Now you ladies, carry on.
Excellent.
See you later, pal. I'm going home.
Wait a minute.
Well, I'm glad that's over. Now it's over.
Good night, ladies.
Good night, sir.
Let's get out of here.
Even though it's a new year, you may be facing an old problem that could be costing you a lot of money. I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner. After the break, we'll talk about how important it is to get your ducks in a row right after this.
The probability of a serious fire in a building may be low, but the potential consequences are enormous. In addition to smoke alarms and fire extinguishers, fire-resistant building materials can give you extra time to escape when seconds count. Roxul Stonewool Insulation is a critical line of defense in fire protection. Roxul is made from basalt, rock, and slag, and this combination results in a non-combustible product. It resists temperatures up to 2150 degrees and will not off-gas, contribute to toxic smoke, or promote flames. These tips brought to you by Roxul, the better insulation.
The dead of winter is when homes have the highest energy demands of the year. The cost of heating a home accounts for over 34% of all annual utility usage. It just stands to reason that if you're going to the trouble and expense of delivering heated air to your home, then you want as much of it as possible to arrive inside. As heated air travels from the furnace through the ductwork and out to the vents, a lot of heat can be lost in the transportation, sometimes up to 30% loss simply from leaky ducts. That's why it's important to inspect all of the ductwork and seal any leaks to increase efficiency, keep you comfortable, and save those much needed energy dollars. I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner.
Dave here. Want to offer some good online music sites if you like listening to music online. ZCom Radio. They have two different stations. Gems plays Ricky Nelson, Herman's Hermits, Buddy Holly, Fats Domino. And The Choice plays stuff like Boston, the Doobie Brothers, Stones, Peter Frampton. You got MileHighRadio.com. They do Dan Fogelberg, The Band, Poco, The Eagles, The Outlaws. And SoftHits.net. They've got Elton John, Tina Turner, James Taylor, Carly Simon, Simon and Garfunkel, and more. Online radio.
This is Bart Shore, and I want to invite you to visit InternetFM.com. This great site has online stations streaming rock music 24/7, hundreds of podcasts with on-demand music, sports, and talk programs. Also get daily features, music news, and useful links. Our radio stations have limited or no commercials at all. InternetFM.com. It's totally free. No sign-up required. If you love music, then InternetFM.com is for you. Also on Facebook at InternetFM.com.